Right now, I've got on the phone, because I know people so far away that they can't come in straight away, but I've got John Casterson, I hope I pronounced that correct, on the line right now. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good, good. So you're an expert in climate change, is that right?
That is true. I work a lot on climate change around the world, on the impacts and the causes of it.
I'm going to ask you a personal question here. This is me, just my mad thought. Climate change, is it not just evolution, or are we actually doing something to harm our planet?
We are harming the planet. It's really something that scientists around the world have completely agreed upon. It's man-made, and we are suffering serious consequences.
Wow! So if we didn't burn these fossil fuels that we found to drive everything and run the whole world, then we'd still be in a better position then.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to cut down our CO2 emissions. They come from our energy, from agriculture, other places. And it's not just reducing it a little bit. We need to get down to zero.
Oh, of course, of course. Now, I have one more thought before I change the subject. And as you're the man, you might, again, my brain sometimes works overtime, especially when I'm sitting in traffic and I'm really, really bored. We're bringing out new type of cars. We're bringing out hybrid cars and electric cars. And there's such a thing as electric cars, even more than hybrid cars. You've got to plug them in to charge them up, correct?
That's correct.
Right. So are we not cancelling one thing out with another? Because we're not using petrol, we're not using diesel, but we're still using electricity that draws from some kind of fuel to charge that car up. And if everybody starts charging their cars up, aren't we going to be pulling more electricity, therefore using more fuel to generate the electricity?
I mean, that you're absolutely right. And one thing that needs to be done as part of that and for the whole thing about electric vehicles to work is that we've got to produce our electricity without CO2 emissions.
So basically,
it means we've got to produce electricity with renewable energy.
So it's going to be a clean energy. Then we're going to hit that zero.
Yes. It's the only way.
It was just a thought that came across my mind while I was sitting in traffic, and I saw an electric car and I saw a plug-in hybrid car, and I thought, well, hang on a minute, it swings and roundabouts here at the moment.
That's true. If you didn't do anything about the way we produce the electricity, but we are getting ourselves off the coal. That's a good thing.
Yes,
reducing that. But we need to go much further, much faster.
I think we should have learned our lesson about coal years ago. I mean, after the big clean-up that went up a few years ago, when they started cleaning up all the buildings that were filthy and full of soot.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was cool.
And that's the thing. It's actually doing something about climate change is not just about climate change. It's about reducing the air pollution. It's about actually making our lives better. So not a bad idea.
No. And I'm going to say, I think we ought to ban cars from around schools, because it's the people that sit outside in the cars with their engines running, waiting for their kids to come out, that are creating the environment, the bad environment around schools. I don't think it's the vehicles that are going past. I think it's the people in the morning and in the evening sitting there with their engines on, so they can have their aircon on and so they can listen to the radio while they're waiting to pick their kids up.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to reduce our behaviours, our habits and all of that, so no doubt about it. But also when it comes to the cars driving around or the aeroplanes flying.
Yeah. So now let's talk about the other thing I wanted to talk about, air travel.
Yeah.
Because you've had a bad experience lately with air travel, have you not?
Yes, I did. I was on holiday with my wife and my 18-year-old son, who happens to be severely disabled. He's a wheelchair user. He's got cerebral palsy.
Right. And what happened to you there then?
Yeah, well, we've had a great week in Malta, flying up on British Airways.
I haven't been to Malta for years, you know that. Last time I went, I was 14. I'm now 53.
it was lovely, nice people. Everything during the holiday was really great.
Oh, nice.
Great buses, accessible for wheelchair users.
Oh, wow.
That was a very good experience, that bit. But unfortunately, when we checked in, we were first kept waiting on the plane, so we had to board. So we were there for about 3.5 hours on board the plane while they were waiting for some kind of clearance because of air traffic control problems and also thunderstorms, I gather. So another climate change
issue
reason. Yeah. Things like that happen.
Oh, of course. That's nature.
That was really not where the problem was.
Right.
The problem was when we then were told that the flight would be cancelled for that day and start again next day.
Oh, wow.
We then had to get off. And we were told that there would be someone helping us with organising hotels and transport from the airport to the hotel, which British Airways is required to do when stuff like that happens.
So is that just British Airways or any airline?
Yes, any airline.
So you'd expect that something like that with one of the budget airlines, wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect that from someone like a stall of British Air Travel, which is British Airways.
Well, exactly. It's one of the reasons why, particularly when I'm traveling with my son, that we avoid traveling with budget airlines because you know that they're not reliable, they're cutting their costs, whatever. I'm happy to pay that extra premium that it is associated with traveling British Airways, but I do expect that standard of service.
So you
basically what happened was we ended up at the airport just being told that we had to find our own way. No support whatsoever for our son. Absolutely no help with getting transport, so we ended up having to dismantle his wheelchair to fit it into a local taxi because no one was there. There was no customer service. No one on the ground.
Did they not help you off the plane?
They help us off the plane. Very nice people from the airport in Malta that were extremely helpful.
So that was just the Maltese ground crew from the airport?
Exactly.
Right.
There was nobody from British Airways helping out. We had to find a hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning that would be able to accommodate us. We had to organize our own transport, and that is one of the things that a company like British Airways, and actually any decent company, has to provide when unforeseen circumstances like this they appear.
So what time was your original flight then?
That was at 9 o'clock in the evening, so it was I think around 1:30 in the morning before we managed to find a taxi that could take a dismantled wheelchair.
Wow.
We had also booked a hotel ourselves that we found a way of doing. And we're told to show up the next day at 2 o'clock so we could fly back home. So we check out the next morning to go back to the airport only to find BA turning around saying, no, sorry, the flight, and this was actually information that they had sent us via email that the flight would be at 2 o'clock.
Right.
And then turned around the next day and said, well, no, sorry, we're delaying it even further. Initially till 6, we turned out that we left at 8. And in the meantime, and I even called BA and said, well, can we check in again to a hotel? Because I'm here with a disabled young man who needs more than just being stuck at an airport where we can't actually look after his care needs. And the answer was, sorry, we can't help you. I called them, and that's what they said.
Don't they have a legal obligation, though, to their passengers if they're delayed for more than, what is it, 7 hours?
Well, exactly. Well, they actually have to organise hotels. They have to organise transport.
Did you get offered food or anything?
No, they said we could spend up to €25 on food on that day, but that goes neither here nor there. We weren't offered any vouchers when we were at the airport. I think we only survived that because there was some really, really nice and helpful ground staff at the Maltese airport that helped us out. But I even put them on the phone with BA because BA said, well, the airport staff will just help you. And they said, no, you know what? When you're an airline and it's your fault, it's your responsibility.
So was there anybody from the airline there at the airport to talk to you or to?
Well, I had to call their customer service wherever that is based in the world, probably in the UK. I don't know, but they were adamant that they wouldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything.
So when did you actually? And you're still out of pocket, I take it?
I have submitted a claim to BA. I don't know yet whether they're going to reimburse that in full. And I don't know if they are going to honour the EU rules on cancelled flights and pay us compensation, which I think we are entitled to because... The delay might initially have been because there were thunderstorms or whatever, but not 23 hours later.
So the delay was due to problems at Gatwick and Heathrow with their systems due to the bad weather in England.
Yes, yeah. That was what they said initially.
Right, which then had probably a knock-on effect to all of their flights in and out of the UK.
That's correct.
And then they have to basically change all the planes around and put everybody back. So by the time they drop people off and pick people up, you must have been on a list, surely. So by the time they get to, say, M on the list, Malta, it's 23 hours' time. Did they not explain this to you or something?
That's exactly why we expected at least to leave at 2 o'clock as they told us in an email that we would be leaving at 2 o'clock because I fully accept the crew on the plane. They have to wait until they're rested, until they can fly again, which they would have been able to at 2 o'clock, but then further delays. And so we were back home a bit after midnight.
Oh, wow. On what day?
Now we're on to then Sunday. This was leaving on Thursday evening. We were supposed to have been back that same day or very early Friday morning.
Right.
But this was now Saturday morning before we made it home.
Wow, that is a long time. And obviously there was more than just you on the plane. There was lots of other people on the plane.
There was about 200 people, and we actually all got together and wrote a letter of complaint to the CEO of British Airways, which was basically focused around the fact that there was no support from anyone on the ground for anybody. And there were people who... there were young people who couldn't pay extra money for a hotel. They were out of pocket. Oh. They simply couldn't afford it. They had to stay at the airport. There was an 80-year-old who had to stay at the airport as well, probably for some similar reasons. And so there were several people that never got to a hotel. We only got to a hotel, I think, by a stroke of luck, that we got the last two rooms that were available for our family.
Right, so now we're just waiting to hear them from British Airways to say, have you not even had an apology yet?
I haven't had an apology. We had an apology, of course, from the crew on board the plane.
Yeah.
They were very apologetic and worked. I mean, they were great. They did as much as they could. But BA tried to call me sometime earlier today, but I was in meetings at work.
Right.
So I haven't spoken to them, but I haven't heard a thing from them.
Right.
Despite numerous attempts to contact them and to get this situation rectified.
They look like they've got their hands full today, though, with the shenanigans going on with that plane in Spain.
Yeah, well, what I noticed, actually, and again, accidents happen and incidents happen, What I noticed from one of the complaints on that was exactly the same. There was no one to help the passengers once they got off the plane. There was no one from British Airways. So maybe it's something that's beginning to be symptomatic.
So what you think then is that they've got nobody in the airport that can support people coming off the plane. It's just down to basically the airport staff to look after you.
I don't know. I don't know what their operational schedule is, but I know that this was what happened to us. There was no one on the night of the event. There was no one the following day when we were back at the airport and waiting until 8 o'clock in the evening to take off.
What about when you initially got to the airport then and put your luggage on the plane? Was there nobody there then?
No. So we were told, we tried to check in,
yeah.
We were told the check-in wasn't open yet because they had decided to delay the flight until 6 o'clock in the evening, which was then subsequently delayed till 8 o'clock. So, but
when you did go to check-in, it was still not British Airways staff then, it was airport staff?
There was, of course, someone who manned the check-in counter. I have no idea whether they were British Airways
right.
staff or...
Normally they are. They're in yeah. the uniform of the airline that you're checking yeah. in with. I tend to find, anyway. Yeah. And that those people obviously weren't around when you needed them.
No, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for sharing that with me. Has it put you off travelling, or has it just put you off travelling with a certain airline?
I think it's putting me off travelling with a certain airline. But anyway, I need to reduce my flights anyway and make sure I don't travel as much by air. Maybe it's two things that will work together.
Hopefully. So with your job then, do you actually travel around the world a lot, or are you just based?
I do. I work in international development and help the poorest countries tackle the effects of climate change and help them reduce their own CO2 emissions and be prepared for what the future might throw them and make sure that they don't suffer from poverty.
Yes. Yeah, so you're doing a very worthwhile job. Well, I hope that you get this resolved very soon. I'd like to know the outcome. That would be lovely.
I'll definitely let you know.
Thank you. And it'd be nice if someone from British Airways would get in touch and tell us what's going on. That'd be good.
I would love to hear what their explanation is.
Radio@phoenixfm.com. I don't mind taking it on.
Good luck with that.
Oh, and good luck yourself, John. Thanks for coming on. And if any developments come up with climate change and stuff, you get in touch and we'll have another little chat.
I certainly will. I'd be happy to. Thank you very much.
You take care. Thank you. Take care. Ta-ta.
Cheers.
Bye.
This is Phoenix FM.